What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Now the 0-2, swung at, banged up the middle, diving backhanded grab, Rocchio to second one, Arias turned it! Oh, what a double play! Sensational Rocchio at second, diving towards second, backhanded it, flipped it to Arias, who unleashed a cannon shot to first to double up Tauchman. Now the 1-2, swing and a miss, ball game. Cade Smith makes quick work of the White Sox, and the Guardians have cut the deficit to 5 games. They trail the Tigers. A month ago, they were out 15 and a half.
It was the team of the moment, offering entertainment. The team of the moment, they caught our eyes.
The team of the moment is the Cleveland Guardians. The great Tom Hamilton said it right there. A month ago, they were 15 and a half games out in the American League Central. As of today, just like the Cubs in the National League, the Guardians are only 5 games out of the division lead. Detroit is scuffling. Cleveland is 21-7 in their last 28 games, people. Absolutely amazing. And because of that, they find themselves, in terms of the wild card standings, a mere half game behind the New York Yankees for the third spot in the wild card standings. Can you imagine? I can, and it would be awesome if the Yankees were caught by the Cleveland Guardians. The Yankees are 62-55. The Guardians are 61-55. They gave up on the aforementioned Shane Bieber. Emmanuel Clase, the closer, in a gambling scandal, shut down until the end of the month. They weren't able to trade him and get anything for him. What they have done is bring up a couple of prospects. The first is Brian Rocchio, who in 33 games since he was recalled from Columbus on July 1st, is hitting .280 with an OPS in the mid-700s and playing terrific defense at second base. They're leaving Gabriel Arias, at short, and Rocchio's been playing second. And then a few days back, they brought up C.J. Cephas. And just these last 2 games, that kid, yeah, he's a real person. He was the number 4 prospect in their system, number 65 overall, according to MLB Pipeline. Cephas 2-for-4 with a home run last night. He's had 2 great offensive games. And they now have won 9 of their last 10. And as I mentioned, 21-7 since July 7th, the second best record to only the Milwaukee Brewers. The Cleveland Guardians are your team of the moment. There are lots of good options that we're going to get to as part of Blue Pits 1 hour from now, because there's a lot of teams playing really well that deserve some love and some scrutiny, and they'll get it about an hour from now when we do some Blue Pits. But the Cleveland Guardians, your team of the moment. And oh, by the way, they're on the south side. You can go see them against the White Sox. Cleveland playing very well. Tom Hamilton sounding exquisite, as he always does. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on 670 The Score. So the deadline came and went for the White Sox. They got something for Adrian Hauser. They were not able to get something for Aaron Civale. They chose to hang on to Luis Robert, who has been really, really good. Last couple nights, 0 for 6. But before that, in the 30 days prior, he had an OPS over 1. And even last night, he hit the ball hard a few different times. That double play that you just heard was on a, I believe, was on a Luis Robert hard hit ball. If not, then a really good play by Rocchio at a different time in the night. But Luis having some moments where he's looking awfully good. He has to be now picked up. That option must be picked up. I can't imagine it won't be picked up now that you've chosen not to trade him. They've backed themselves into a semantics corner in order to do that. That was among the topics that was discussed with Bruce Levine and David Haugh yesterday on Inside the Clubhouse. Here's Chris Getz on Luis Robert possibly staying with the White Sox after this season.
You know, years ago, he signed, a fairly lengthy contract, and usually in the back end of contracts, the salary numbers, the AAV is greater than the front end. That's just how, they usually are put together. But when you look at the years of control, there's going to be some years that he's very productive or a player is productive, and then some years not so much. But the talent level, I keep on pointing back to where he's got elite bat speed and foot speed. Those are two really good indicators of, okay, is the engine still running? Is there life in the tank here? And the answer to that is yes. And clearly, looking at even before the All-Star break, he really, was starting to show signs. We know the player well. There's some stuff, behind the scenes that we were aware of. And since, some adjustments have been made, we've seen more greater production. Now, I get the attention on Luis Robert because of, the talent. Has it been more volatile than we would have liked throughout his time here? Yeah, but it doesn't, it doesn't take away what he's capable of doing for any club. And when teams are, reaching out to us, expressing interest and, want to try to work out a deal, we're not going to give them away for nothing. And sometimes you've got players that, because you know them, you value him, the player greater than someone else does. It just didn't make any sense. Now, yeah, there are team options on Luis Robert. We decided not to make a deal at the deadline, knowing that, we envision him being part of the White Sox. So, from a mechanical standpoint, picking up the option, we expect him to be in our uniform for, beyond this year.
Chris, since the All-Star break and even beginning before that, but Colson Montgomery has really responded to going to Arizona, backing off, and then coming back, and he has done so with a power surge. Number one, what do you attribute that to most? And secondly, from your perspective as the boss, would you like to see him play at one position, shortstop, rather than being moved between short and third?
Well, obviously a lot to unpack there, but I'll start with when we took Colson in the first round a couple years ago, and we're watching him go about his business, how he interacts, his understanding of the game, his temperament. It always really stood out. I mean, it was a very professional, mature approach for a player that, small town Indiana, played a lot of basketball, probably more basketball than baseball. But he just had this innate ability to really slow the game down. Now you fast forward and you get towards the upper minor leagues, you get closer to the big leagues. There's a lot of different factors. There's a little bit of perhaps some angst. I need to get to the big leagues. You got a lot of prospect status along the way. And when you get that as a young player, keeping that status can be, an added stress level for some of these guys. So, there are a handful of different factors, And, you know, when we made the decision to pull him out of the Charlotte season because he was off to that rough start, you know, it was like, all right, this guy needs to take a breath. You know, he's fighting a good fight. You know, the best thing what gave me the most confidence is in speaking to him personally, I just knew he wasn't going to give up. It's like he just wasn't. He made that very clear. He was going through it, you know, and I mean, there was a lot of swing and miss. And, you know, we just knew that there were some adjustments that needed to be made. And it's just so difficult sometimes to apply that in season game after game. So to get him, you know, to back off a little bit, get him away from chasing results, slow his world down, and then, you know, brought him back onto that Charlotte Knights roster. And, you know, we started really getting more productive, having better at bats, regaining some confidence. And then, you know, lo and behold, there's an opportunity at the major league level. You know, we started him out in, against the Rockies, had a great series. And, you know, really ever since he's been off and running, speaks to the talent that he has that we knew that was in there. Really proud of him. And, you know, I think the world of him because he's just got something special about him. He really does. And then to answer your kind of positional question, you know, at the end of the day, what's going to, you know, make him a very good big leaguer is his ability to not only make plays defensively, but his offensive production. So the being able to play shortstop, third base, you know, that really just that helps the team. We certainly don't want to lose sight of, you know, him playing shortstop, but we're also trying to fill out a lineup and construct a roster that, you know, maximizes offensive production and defense. So there's a lot of different ways to go about it. You look across the league, versatility is a very valuable thing. When we develop players, we like to expose them to different positions. You know, these guys are athletes. Colson's one of them. The way he moves around the diamond, you know, his hands, his feet, his arm, they work together. If I felt like third base or another position was taken away from his ability to play shortstop, that's one thing. But we haven't seen any signs of that. If anything, we've been more and more impressed by his shortstop play.
How did you personally handle the character assassination that you went through with the comments from Bob Nightingale about other general managers saying that, you know, you were unrealistic to deal with, that you were asking for the moon? How tough of an exterior and interior do you have to get through those moments?
I do not take it personally. It's part of the job to be criticized and you know, I'm fortunate to be in a position to be criticized in a way. You know, we've got our convictions on certain players. You know, you point back at processes that you've established throughout the organization. You need to really lean into those. You know, the getting criticized for, you know, maybe valuing a player above what an opponent believes that player should be. I mean, that's fine. You know, I'm certainly not someone that shies away from making a trade or a move. If you look at, you know, the amount of transactions on our 40-man roster since, you know, the September of 2023, I mean, I don't know exactly if it's at the top of the league, but it's towards the top. I don't, you know, if there's opportunity to make a move, we'll do so. You know, not all of them are going to work out. But you got to continue to take your shots with kind of that North Star in mind of continuing to improve your ball club. I do get a little bit of a kick out of the Louis Robert attention and our unwillingness to match what another team. Well, you know, if you don't acquire a player, you're probably getting frustrated. You know, at the end of the day, we're excited about having Louis Robert in center field. We, you know, from the beginning, I've talked about building a team, you know, strong up the middle. We feel really good about where our catching is. You look at shortstop and second base and Louis Robert in center field. It's a really, you know, solid starting point for as we continue to build out this roster.
That's Chris Getz on Inside the Clubhouse right there on 670 The Score from yesterday. Some good stuff in there. I find myself sitting here kind of ruminating about his wording on Luis Robert being a part of the White Sox beyond 2025. He did not specifically say we're going to pick up the option. A texter gets in and says, Spiegs, I'll bet you $1 that the White Sox do not pick up Robert's option at the end of the year. That will look terrible. That will be an embarrassment if they just don't pick up the option and let him walk. Now, could they not pick up the option and then try to negotiate an extension with him and try to bring him back? I suppose they could. So, intriguing possibilities. Very, very interesting, because I mean, you will allow yourself to look absolutely ridiculous if you don't pick up the option and then he walks away for absolutely nothing. But negotiate an extension is entirely possible. All right, we got another segment of open calls for you. So Elmer, Steve, hang around. Ron on the south side, hang around. If you'd like to get in, we'll have some time to take your phone calls on Luis Robert, on the White Sox, anything you heard from Chris Getz right there, and certainly can get back to the Cubs. As all morning long, we are kicking around where the Cubs are, five games back of the Brewers, but with a very, very good chance to make the wild card. That five-game series at home with Milwaukee looms as the opportunity for them to peel games away. And we're checking in on all things in Milwaukee to see if they actually get that game in after the flash flooding in Wisconsin early this morning. It speaks with you on Hit and Run right here on 670 The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Pitching defense is what wins, but those guys, Kyle Hendricks, I used to tell him all the time when got tough, throw softer, because he only threw like 88, 89, so I'd go up to the mound and be like, hey, man, like, it's a big spot. Maybe try to throw a little slower. They'll never see it coming.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Oh, man. I got to listen to that whole thing, don't I, Sean? Sean Sears producing the show. Matt Spiegel here hosting the show. It is Hit and Run. That's Anthony Rizzo on Johnny Manziel's podcast. Rizzo telling Hendricks to throw it even slower. We've got some cuts from Rizzo that maybe we'll get to next hour, as we are hanging out talking Cubs and Sox in this glorious two-team town here in Chicago. Going to be a beautiful day and a very hot day And maybe Ron on the south side is going to head to the ballpark. Ron, the team's been playing well. Yeah, they've fallen back a little bit. Now they've lost, what is it, six in a row? And after having gotten swept by Seattle, it's been kind of a bumpy week. But there's still some good signs to see, and maybe you ought to get out there. It's Nancy Faust's last game of the season on the organ. That's been a wonderful option for Sox fans to hear. So why don't you get over there, sir? Go ahead.
There you go. Oh, great pick. You know what? I was caught between Cleveland and the second week in a row, San Diego. But great pick with the Guardian. And I'm still confused after listening to Chris Getz, because he was talking about defense up the middle with Robin. Okay, yeah. If that is important, then I really think Montgomery needs to be playing. Speech, can I say a couple things about Bill Veeck real quick?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, actually, one of my favorite books is Veeck. But Bill Veeck is credited probably for revenue sharing. He said that visiting teams need to receive, and I looked it up. I remember reading in his book some of the revenue from the radio and television. He said, because without a visiting team, you don't get any money. So, but just all of the things that he did for baseball, and nothing he said, your team is not going to be good every year. So you really need to make it an experience. Now, conversely, he did set the organization back after the 59 season when he traded Johnny Callison, Norm Cash, Johnny Romano. And he was heavily criticized, but he said he was trying to win it. But he said, when you look at those guys that went on to be all stars, yes. So I just had to point that out. And one last thing, Speaks, I can't recall when the baseball, both leagues, were wide open. Maybe in the National League, you know what? I still would have to pick the Dodgers. But right now in the American League, I'm going to tell you, I really can't choose a team. I just can't recall when both leagues have been. And it's fun because I really, you know, both leagues are over. So that's it, Speed. And you have a good day. Talk to you next week.
All right, Ron, you're the best, man. Thank you. Yeah, the it is wide open. The Dodgers are starting to scare the hell out of me again because the starting pitching is back. Blake Snell threw five scoreless innings last night and struck out 10. Kershaw outdueled Scherzer the other night. Yamamoto's been their best guy all year long. The Dodgers starters this month have an ERA of 1.24. So last year it was the bullpen that carried them through. This year, maybe finally, it is the starters, and maybe Dave Roberts will do some piggybacking. I don't know. It could be very, very interesting. So we'll talk more of the best teams in baseball at the top of the hour with Blue Pitts. Let's go to Tony in Wonder Lake on 670 The Score. Tony, what's happening, man? You're on Hit and Run. Tony, you there?
Yeah.
We will.
Tony from Park Ridge.
Oh, Tony from Park Ridge. I got you, man.
Ed.
That's talk to
okay.
me.
Okay, listen, it's a typical Cubs season. Here we are. We had our run, and now we're a 500 team. And what are we going to win 86 games? I'll give you 4 points. Number one is Hoyer. It starts from the top. And that's the reason that Rick, he's safe. That's the only reason Rick has signed him, because he's safe. He doesn't go out. He doesn't go out on a limb. He doesn't over. Hey, you want to win, you overpay. Everybody overpays. We overpaid when we got Chapman. That's how you win. You overpay, you roll a dice, and you gamble. You don't think the Mets didn't overpay this time around? You don't think San Diego overpaid? But no, we played it safe. That's number one. Number two, Tucker. Sorry, guys. Tucker, he's checked out. He doesn't want to be on this team. He's going through the motions. If you think we're going to sign Tucker, it's forget it. We're going to turn the big PR machine on and talk about signing Tucker. No way we're going to sign Tucker. Again, he doesn't want to be here. He's not certainly not going to give us a discount. And the nail in the coffin was what Jed did at the trade deadline. He didn't make a move. You don't think Tucker saw that? He doesn't want to be with an organization like this. Okay. And then how about what's with Pete Crow? He can't run out of the ball anymore? Anybody see that last night? He had a ground ball to second base. The guy bobbled it twice. Pete Crow wasn't even 3/4 of the way down. All of a sudden, his head got too big. And Council, hey, Craig, how about switching things up a little bit here? Yeah, at the beginning of the year, you were bopping homers, and she had the home run lineup. How about let's change the lineup a little bit, Craig? Huh? And let's go with what you got. You know, let's do a little hit and run. Let's steal some bases. No, he's got the same he's got the same type of lineup he had in the beginning of the season. Boy, I'm kind of disappointed. I thought he was going to give us maybe 6-8 extra victories because of how he is. It turns out, forget it. And one last thing, Owen Cassie, you had an opportunity to trade that guy for somebody and you didn't. Hey, you ever heard of Bruce Kiesnick, Matt Mervis? Owen Cassie's the next. If you watch him, you know when he puts up all his numbers, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th inning, when they got all the other Jamoke pitchers pitching. Hey, thanks for listening.
Hey, Tony, that was amazing. Tony in Park Ridge, replete with a Jamoke usage. You know that's my favorite word. Oh, my goodness.
He said the name of the show, too. Oh,
God. And he is angry and feisty and cynical about this Cubs thing.
And he said he gave us 4 picks, but he gave us 5,
actually. He gave us five. It's Casey, not Cassie, but who cares? It's Brooks Kiesnick. Did he say Bruce? He might have said Bruce. It's Bruce Levine and Brooks Kiesnick. But, just amazing. There's a lot of people that feel like Tony. You heard it from me a little bit last hour. Sometimes I feel like Tony. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't. You know? Nobody wants to feel like Tony in Park Ridge. But sometimes Tony feels like Tony, and he's got to live with it. Maybe you got to live with it, too, every once in a while. You know? Pete Crow Armstrong is his last day. And Pete Crow Armstrong in his last 7 games, 28 plate appearances, 27 at-bats. He's got 1 hit. He's got 1 hit. He's 1-for-27 in the last 7 games. Folks, that's not good. 1-for-27 is not good. I got a crazy theory on Pete Crow Armstrong. I got a crazy theory I got to share with you. You remember like a month and a half ago or so, somebody on the afternoon show, was either Spiegel or Holmes, I forget which, I think it was Spiegel, was talking about how he didn't like that Pete Crow Armstrong sometimes throws the bat, throws his helmet, expresses himself in this really violent way. You know what I'm talking about? And, you know, that guy, I think it was Spiegel, was expressing it, and he was just, you know, talking about how it bothered him. And they had a great exchange, those guys did, with Craig Council. It was on the afternoon show. You got that, Sean? Look, this is great. They had a great exchange with Craig Council about Pete Crow Armstrong and the explosive throwing of the bats and stuff like that.
Hey, PCA has been a topic the last 24 hours on the station because sometimes young players will show frustration, and Pete, sometimes after a strikeout, it happens Saturday, the bat gets kind of thrown on the ground, the helmet gets thrown, maybe picks up the helmet, throws it again, that kind of thing. Is that something that you as a manager have talked about with him, or something that you consider talking about with him?
Yeah, I mean, does it bother you?
It does, actually, a little bit. And I like Pete so much. I love his game so much. So I try not to be, you know, grizzly old baseball police jackass.
Yeah. But you were yesterday.
Well, oh, no, come on. Am I?
Definitely baseball police yesterday.
No, but it's just.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Like, I guess what I think is, you know, I think we want our players to be perfect, right? And then you obviously coach them to be better versions of themselves. But you know, I think we also as people have like blessings and curses, right? So I think the blessing Pete shows every day is like he plays with a lot of emotion, and as a fan you feel that emotion, as a coach you feel that emotion, and it's wonderful, right? We love it. I think to assume there's going to be nothing on the other side of that is not fair to Pete in a lot of ways. So I think Pete's always trying to get better at that stuff. But I think we also should give him some grace as he tries to improve on it.
So that's quite a beautiful answer. It's a very human answer. And I certainly agree with that, that the same stuff that makes us laugh can make us cry, as my old partner Jason Goff used to say, right? That the same things that made Manny Ramirez beautifully patient and unaffected in crucial moments, being able to spit at a slider on the outside, like off the outside corner, also made him really difficult to manage and made him like incredibly frustrating as a teammate every once in a while. So anyway, if we grant that whatever makes Pete Crow Armstrong terrific, the emotions close to the surface, is also sometimes what makes him throw the bat and have explosive energy. What I'm saying is this. Does he need to go back to that? Because if you notice, Sean Sears, if you notice that Pete doesn't throw the bat anymore, there's been a lot of times where he gets really upset after a strikeout and he raises the bat to throw it and he holds back. He stops. And there was, I'm serious here. Now, I know that I'm the pot calling the Spiegel black. And I, as everybody knows, I'm not the black cop on that show. Lawrence and I sometimes play good cop, bad cop, and he always says, I'm the black cop, him, not me. But anyway, it's like, I'm just wondering now, because there was all this conversation the first couple months of the year, they got to keep, make sure that Pete stays himself. Remember that? That everybody has to make sure that Pete continues to be himself. And maybe trying to withhold that emotion is not a good thing, and he needs to just let it fly. So I know that I'm the guy who brought up they didn't like it, but screw me. It ain't about me. It's not about me. It's about Pete and whatever Pete needs to function better. So I'm finding myself interested in that and watching that and wondering if Craig Counsell or others, if Nico, somebody, hey, Pete, throw the bat. If you don't get a strikeout, you're like, go ahead and throw it again. Go ahead and be you. Kick the helmet around. Okay? Go ahead and do that. Texters have gotten in talking about Tony from Park Ridge. Tony from Park Ridge was this morning's freight train of hate and indignation. Yes, the one-man freight train. Here's another. Tony is the equivalent of an FM DJ putting on the long version of Inagata DeVita so you could take a bathroom break. Been there. For me, it was Low Spark of High-Heeled Boys during my XRT Friday overnight days. Maybe every once in a while, Rosalita. 7 minutes and 2 seconds on Rosalita. Thanks for asking. 12:10 on Low Spark of High-Heeled Boys. Live version of the Grateful Dead's Sugary that we used to play on XRT. About 8.5 minutes. Speaking of XRT and speaking of me and music, Thursday the 21st, I am thrilled to be leading a band over at the Metro. We are the Lindbergers in honor of Lynn Bramer. It is the Lynn Bramer hometown celebration. It's me along with an incredible band. Two sets of music. It's going to be great, man. Scott Lucas from Local H, Eddie King Roser from Urge Overkill, Michael McDermott, John Lankford, Ryan Dempster is going to come by and sing. It's going to be an absolute blast. XRT and the Cubs and your boy Speaks with the Lindbergers Thursday, the 21st of August over at the Metro. You can get tickets at metrochicago.com. It's going to be awesome. Please come out and sing or see me sing and see us sing, see us play. Tony from Park Ridge, says a texter, is now yelling at the neighborhood kids to get off his lawn. It's possible. We got Steven Elmhurst, who's been kind enough to hang around. Is Steve here? Steve, what's up, man? Thanks for waiting. You're on Hit and Run on the Score. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. You know, one of the things that I was particularly happy about, and a lot of people want to complain today, and I understand some of that, but one of the things that I was particularly happy about with the Cubs yesterday, they ran, and they put pressure on the defense. And that's what they did the first couple months of the season that made them so successful. And yes, in the last couple of weeks, that has all but disappeared. And yesterday it reappeared, and it was a beautiful thing. And let's face it, you're talking about the Dodgers and how their pitching now is coming into form. They're getting guys healthy, and they've got a really good pitching staff if everybody's healthy. We know that. So how are you going to have any chance to beat them? Well, when you get guys on base, you're going to have to run. You're going to have to manufacture runs because you're not going to be able to just slug. So that was one of the things that I felt really good about. And is in terms of they didn't make deals at the deadline, and they didn't go ahead and trade Owen Casey. It's not Cassie, it's Casey. That to me made sense because Tucker's not coming back. I know you wanted to have this whole, you know, I don't know what you'd even call it. Everybody a rally to keep him here and do whatever you can to keep him here. But, you know, he's not going to stay because there's going to be bigger, better offers, and he's going to go elsewhere.
The operation hashtag Woo King Tuck is what you're talking about. I know it's a mouthful. I'm not surprised Steve from Elmer's couldn't remember it. It's not my best named movement. You know, it's hard to rally the troops when nobody can remember what the movement's called. Operation hashtag Woo King Tuck. There's a hashtag in the middle of it. I mean, really, it's pretty bad.
I know. I thought it had potential, honestly, when I heard it. I was like,
thank you.
It had a nice ring to it, but then you see it written out, and you're like, oh, it's a lot of words.
Hashtag Woo King Tuck would be better, but I added the operation because it feels better to have an operation in the front of it.
It feels more official. I like it.
exactly. But it's not going well. But it was rejuvenated a little bit during the week because he is enjoying himself here. He's got a nephew that sends... the nephew doesn't, because the nephew's only like two. He has a nephew that holds a fake guitar and sings along to Go Cubs Go when they win games. And then he gets the videos sent to him. So he's got a family member that is singing along to Go Cubs Go every day, and he's enjoying that. He's got a steakhouse that he likes here. Bavette's, that's his favorite restaurant. He's investing a little bit. Bavette's is a fine choice. So anyway, I think it's still conceivable, but maybe not. But I could not agree more about the running. Could not agree more about the steals. Over the last 30 days, the Cubs are middle of the pack in stolen bases, and that's really only because they got a couple last night. Before that, they were even lower. On the year, they're fourth best in stolen bases. They have not been running enough. They haven't been getting on base a lot, but they have not been running enough. And we saw moments when the game where PCA got doubled off when Nico hit a line drive to second base. PCA should have been running on the first or second pitch. You can't stop him. He should have been running already. And now they ran last night. Let's go ahead. Let's get aggressive. Steals, hit and runs, wheels in motion. It is definitely time. Let's talk about one of the great resurgences of the year. A remarkable season from a local castoff who is keeping the best team in baseball where they are. Let's discuss that with Michael Bauman from Fangraphs next on 670 The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents.
As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
That's driven into left center field. Back goes Harris, still back, and it is gone. Andrew Vaughn strikes again. Hitting streak reaches a dozen, and the guys in that Brewers dugout just cannot believe the run that this kid is on.
Andrew Vaughn, oh my goodness. Nobody hotter right now than Andrew Vaughn. Back-to-back sliders, gets a hanger, and then gets another hanger, and this time doesn't miss it. 409 feet.
Hit and run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
It has been troubling, flat-out troubling, to see the Brewers get so much out of Andrew Vaughn when we watched him sputter and slumber and slump his way through the final several years of what ended up being a miserable White Sox tenure. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on a Sunday morning on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. And joining us now is Michael Bauman, a writer for FanGraphs, the former co-host of the Ringers baseball show, and a man who joins us on the guest line, which is sponsored by the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Michael, thank you for the time. Why is Andrew Vaughn, is the very simple question. What he is in Milwaukee. I mean, I could just say why in everything, but you don't have time to trace the man's entire life. So why is this happening now in Milwaukee? Please help us.
Yeah, some guys just need a change of scenery, and I didn't think that the scenery changed much between Chicago and Milwaukee, but apparently I was wrong. I wrote about this obviously last week, and I think there's a few subtle changes that are being made. he's chasing fly balls a little bit less. There are limited conclusions that you can draw, because at the time I wrote, he had only had 90 plate appearances in a Brewers uniform. But you can look at some of the more advanced stuff on Baseball Savant and try to get into what's actually changed. And the swing has not really changed a lot. The stance has not really changed a lot. He's gotten maybe a little bit more open, but he's making a lot better contact. And it's, you know, paradoxically not as many fly balls, but he's swinging the bat a little bit harder. He's shortened his swing a little bit, and he's hitting a ton more line drives. He's pulling the ball more, and with those, he's getting some more favorable matchups. And maybe we could talk about that a little bit too. But I think it's just a few little things, and some guys just get hot. Apparently, even a guy I had completely written off 2 months ago.
Well, tell me about the line drive stuff, and the counterintuitive nature is absolutely true in terms of baseball. If sometimes this was like why the launch angle thing kind of screwed up a lot of people's heads, whether it worked or not is another thing. But there's so many hitters that you can talk to where it screwed up their heads. Because if you're just trying to hit the ball hard and hit line drives, then sort of the happenstance of getting the ball in the air will mean that the ball goes farther when it does get in the air. So I wonder if that's a Brewers thing overall in terms of what they tell their hitters to do.
Well, it's a, I can't speak to an organizational approach in that respect, but it is, it's interesting when Christian Yelich got there and he had his breakout season and all of a sudden went from like a 10 home run hitter to a 40 home run hitter. This was at the peak of launch angle discourse. And, he got asked about it repeatedly and he said, no, I'm just trying to hit line drives. I'm just hitting the ball harder than before. And the numbers bore that out. He was, just if you look at his ground ball to fly ball ratio during those MVP contender years, there's really nobody in recent baseball history like him in terms of hitting the ball low and hard and just hitting enough line drives, basically, that he got, 35, 40 home runs a year. And, I'm not going to say that Andrew Vaughn is the new Christian Yelich after basically 5 good weeks, but I think that there are some guys who it does, I don't want to say it screws them up, but if you try to hit the ball in the air, sometimes you're going to pop it up. Or if you're, you know, going into an unnatural swing path, this was a problem for Vaughn last year. He hit 31 pop-ups last year, which is just an outrageous number. And so, you know, since joining the Brewers, that hasn't been an issue. The other thing is, it's not just, you know, hitting the ball in the air, it's getting the ball to the pole side. And Vaughn hit a lot of line drives and balls in the air to the opposite field last year and late in his tenure with the White Sox. He's getting them more to the pole side this year. That's where you get doubles down the line, home runs. It's where the most productive damage gets done, and he's been doing more of that as well. So, you know, I think that there's probably some small sample fluke in this, maybe a lot of small sample fluke, but he does look like, I would say, a more confident hitter now than late in his White Sox tenure.
Michael Bauman from Fangraphs is my guest here on Hit and Run. While we're talking, I went over to Fangraphs and checked the team stats on line drive percentage, and you can't make this up. Like, just when you think you got things figured out, and I'm like, ooh, maybe I'm onto it. At least results-wise, they're 30th in line drive percentage as a team. You can't make it up, but it's a fascinating thing. You said it, like, pull side and in the air, in terms of results, anyway, that's what you want. We're seeing that with Matt Shaw here since the All-Star break for the Cubs. I talk to Nico Horner every week, and he's not that guy, but he knows that's the most valuable ball mm-hmm. in baseball. He knows that's what you want, and yet he kind of can't do it. And it's interesting. I wonder if I don't know, like, how do you go about doing that? Hitting the ball earlier, making that contact point in front of the plate the way that Justin Turner did so many years ago that people have tried to copy, Michael? Is that the key in your mind?
Yeah. Well, that's one way to do it. You end up, you know, you sort of clear your hips early and cheat and try to get out in front of the ball, and you can end up having some really foolish looking swings and misses doing that. You know, the Nico Horner example is a great example. I think one thing that we, as like a stat savvy baseball community, were guilty of in the late 2010s is looking for like a one size fits all approach. And so some guys can do this. Some guys can make this adjustment. And for others, what is less efficient for the league as a whole is just more comfortable, more productive for them. You know, Tim Anderson won a couple batting titles before his bat slowed down, and he hit the ball on the ground more than anybody. You know, you think about, you know, when basketball was going through its revolution of only layups and three-pointers, LaMarcus Aldridge just kept shooting 18-footers because that worked for him, and he was so good at that supposedly inefficient skill that he was able to continue being an all-star despite playing, you know, what the nerds would tell you was an inefficient game. And so, you know, that applies to pitchers and hitters as well.
Interesting. All right. So as I look and try to figure out the Brewers' secret sauce, you mentioned some of the matchup choices for Vaughn. I'm intrigued. What are you seeing as a trend, at least in the sample you've gotten a chance to look at?
Well, the thing that really stood out is he was getting less than 20% of the pitches he saw during the season with the White Sox, less than 20% against lefties. And with the Brewers, at least at the time I was writing, it was up to close to 40%. And it was, you know, I didn't look that closely at his game-by-game data, and so I assumed that he was getting pulled, you know, in and out of the lineup. The Brewers have done this since the days of Craig Counsell. But no, he's been playing every day and starting and, you know, not really getting lifted late in games except in a few, you know, in a few specific situations. The playing time and the nature of the playing time has not changed that much after the trade. But what has changed is he was batting all up and down the White Sox lineup, and he's been pretty consistently, not every day, but most of the time, hitting behind Yelich, who's a left-handed hitter, and in front of Isaac Collins or Blake Perkins, who are switch hitters. And that makes it more difficult to attack him with right-handed relievers for, you know, for opponents who are trying to go after you know, at the middle of the Brewers order playing matchups late in the game. And if you're going to go after one hitter, you know, I don't know how fast these managers adjust their priors, but the guy I'd be targeting is Yelich, not Vaughn. And so, you know, it's possible he's getting more favorable matchups late in games against lefties. But, you know, that's something that I'm going to be very interested to see if the proportion of at-bats in which he gets the platoon advantage, stays that out of whack, basically, for the rest of the season. Because that is, like, the biggest statistical change that I saw.
Is that he's getting lots and lots of at-bats against lefties.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons that lineup position does matter, especially for the later innings. And I wonder, sometimes you sacrifice the matchup in the first few innings in order to get those late-inning matchups. As we watch Council closely in this town, it comes to mind. All right, you mentioned Isaac Collins, and I know you wrote about him in the last couple of weeks. That's a Rule 5 pick in 2022, who's who's got a real shot to win Rookie of the Year. Him and Augustin Ramirez will fight it out. I love that catcher down in Miami. But Dan, yeah. What have they figured out with Isaac Collins? Like how have they made him a thing?
Well, it's not even that he was a Rule 5 pick. He was a minor league Rule 5 pick,
which is just
a completely different. And add on top of that, he came from the Rockies. Like, you're one step from being out of baseball if you're a minor league Rule 5 pick from the Rockies. But one thing he's always done really, really well is he's drawn a ton of walks. And he's not, he's a little guy. He doesn't have enough power to be an everyday corner outfielder. And he can't play center and has had to move off of some of the infield he played in the minors. But one thing he does is he just draws a ton of walks. He had a 20% walk rate in 2023 in the minor leagues, and he's continued to do that. And he's just – you see guys who draw these outrageous walk totals in college or the minor leagues, and the quality of pitching goes up, and guys can find the strike zone more. And more than that, the guys – who are throwing, they're throwing more strikes, but also their stuff is so good that they're not afraid of hitters who can't do damage. And the key for, where most players like Collins fail is they get up to AA, AAA, the majors. At some point, they just can't make pitchers afraid of them enough to get enough balls out of the strike zone to draw that many walks. And I think Collins is doing just enough. He's another guy who I think there's some evidence for him getting a little bit lucky. I don't know if that .280 batting average that he's rocking right now is gonna stick for the long term, but he's doing just enough offensively. He's also playing terrific defense in left field by the advanced numbers, which helps. But he's this is a very strange kind of weak rookie class. He could be, you remember Chris Coughlin winning the Rookie of the Year with the Marlins back in the 2010s. Like, he could be that kind of Rookie of the Year if he keeps this up.
Where are your eyes going today, baseball-wise? There's so many interesting matchups. I said at the top of the show, last night it was like, it was overwhelming how much compelling baseball there was at the same time. Where do you find yourself intrigued on a Sunday afternoon?
The Phillies Rangers series has been really good. They played a really dramatic game. It's interesting, that's sort of my home team, and so I've got a lot of friends who have been very catchy about the bullpen, and the Joan Duran trade has completely changed the mood in the public around here. And so, I think that's going to be a great game. It's weird, the National League playoff race is kind of settled. We're just figuring out who's going to, which of the, there are three two-team races for each of the division titles, but both of those are out of, they're at like 3, 4, 5 games difference, I think, in all three cases. So I think the other team to watch out for, conversely, is the Mets, because they're on a 1-9 skid right now. If they don't arrest that, they're not going to have a chance to make these last couple series against the Phillies count.
Terry Francona and his second half record might be ready to rise up. We'll have to see. Michael, thanks, man.
Lurking.
This was fun.
Yeah,
they
right,
lurk.
Thank you.
That's what he does. Thanks so much for doing it. That's Michael Bauman from Fangraphs joining us here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. We'll look at some of the other compelling matchups through the lens of Blue Pits next on 670 The Score. It's Adav Sharma at 11:25.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.